What's up, No Nation? It's the guys from Plant the Spirit. I'm Jesse. That's Michael. And Michael, we have some not news to break today, actually, that Florida State is going to retain Mike Norvell. It appears at least through the rest of the season. Now, this is not something that I think a lot of us were hoping for, but things were quiet on Sunday. We figured maybe that was just with the West Coast thing. And then Monday comes around. It's Monday morning. We're not really hearing anything. And then Monday, about mid-morning, we get a statement from Florida State Athletics Director Michael Alford, which I will read to you guys in just a minute, that it looks like Mike Norvell is going to be here through the end of the season, and then everything will be evaluated then. So we're going to talk about all that today. We're going to talk about, you know, kind of the decision that was made, maybe why we feel one way or the other about it, and just kind of the state of things going forward, where Florida State goes from here. You know, Michael, I was actually excited to come on here today and record. I had my, you know, I had my hot board ready. I put a lot of work into it. I was ready to go through that. Little did I know, Mike Norvell was the top name on the hot board for this coaching. You know, hey, man, like a clogged toilet, we're going to be hanging around dealing with this shit a little bit longer.
Yeah. Ah, yes, it definitely is like a clogged toilet that you're gonna have to go get a plumber and
take. Hey, we're floating this turd a little bit longer, buddy.
Oh man, it's you know, I think we all expected that after what we watched culminate at 2:30 in the morning, that probably sometime at Sunday we'd hear the news of that. So, I mean, I would agree with you, Jesse. It has been just a massive disappointment that we're not coming to you now with our, you know, hot boards that you and I both have worked really long on and hard on and did research and we're getting excited. But instead, we're telling you that it looks like Mike Norvell is going to be retained at least through the end of the season, as Director Alford posted out there. But, you know, we all have different feelings about this and why or why not. And so I'm actually interested to get into this episode.
Yeah. And I apologize for the little bit of language there in the joke. We're a family friendly show. If I let one or two slip today when things get, you know, maybe heated, I do apologize, but daggone it, Michael, I'm just pissed off, right? As a Florida State fan, I'm pissed off at the product that we're seeing. And then to come out and endorse Mike Norvell for the rest of the season, I think is a major misstep by this program. Again, we'll talk about why maybe you feel one of that way is the right way or the wrong way. But I think I share a lot of the emotion of the fan base right now, you know, of just being pissed off. We just want better results. And the fact that we can't or aren't, I'm not going to say can't, but we're just not making a change at this point feels like a damnation on this program a little bit. Now, we're going to get into some of the reasons why we think it's not happening. And some of those reasons might just be the tough reality that we have to face that, look, this is going to cost a lot of money to make this change. And so we're going to talk about that. At first up, Michael, before we get into that, I want to say one thing real quick, and that is homecoming. The Wake Forest game has been scheduled for 7:30 at night. I'm pretty sure all 15 fans in attendance are going to boo Mike Norvell. You know, they posted on this, they said, under the lights for homecoming. I'm like, man, just turn the dadgum lights off. No one wants to see this right now. It's going to be tough, man. I will say this, like those last two home games of the season, it's a good thing that you already played most of your home games prior to this, because I can tell you it's not going to be a good showing. I will at least say that, because I think people are just mad. You know what I mean? And so as we get into this conversation, I really do think the problem is right now, Mike Norvell has lost a fan base. And it appears he's also lost the locker room to a degree, right? When you see the national articles coming out about players mocking the coach, you saw the thing that they had with Edwin Joseph on the sideline where they got into it, and he still played in that game. So that tells you right there that, like, what are you even holding them accountable for? Those are the things I think where people are just mad, right? Where people are like, look, this isn't working, and it's just not going to get any better. Like, my personal thoughts are that this program right now is in a nosedive. We are in a spiral, and Mike Norvell just doesn't appear to be able to pull us out of that. And so now you're going to roll with him for the rest of the season as it continues to fall. I mean, that's a really tough decision to make. But before we get into the full on discussion, let me just give you the statement that Florida State made, just so we're all on the same page. For those of you who may not have heard this, we'll just read it for you. Okay. So this was put out earlier today, what, probably like 10, 11 o'clock, by the athletic department. And they say, Florida State football benefits from unmatched passionate support from the entire FSU family, and the commitment to our football program is unwavering. We rightfully have high expectations in everything we do to represent Florida State in the manner that built our reputation as one of the college football's best programs, cultivating an extraordinary group of supporters nationally and globally. We embrace those expectations while also sharing the deep disappointment when results on the field are short of that standard. As we continue to move forward this season, our comprehensive assessment of the football program will be completed at season's end. Meanwhile, we are fully committed to helping Coach Norvell and the 2025 Seminoles strongly rebound in the coming weeks. And end quote. And so that is what Florida State says. You know, I don't know, man. Strongly rebound in the coming weeks was maybe could have been left off on the end there. I don't know how strongly you rebound when you have Wake Forest, the worst Clemson team in 15 years. Two staffs that are now going to be under interim coaches. Yeah, man, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's funny, Michael. I will, and I'll throw it back to you on this for some initial thoughts. But I said last show that if it did not happen after a Stanford loss, it probably was not going to happen this season because you were going into the bye week ahead of Wake Forest. You had basically the perfect opportunity to do it. And now that you're not doing it, I don't think it comes till after the season.
Yeah.
I said that last week. Apparently, that's going to be the case going forward. I also said that if they win, they should issue a statement like this to basically calm the noise. This isn't what I meant. I didn't mean to issue the statement.
You got the opposite of both sides.
Exactly. I got the opposite of both sides. I think the statement that came out after a loss should have been you're firing him, and the statement after a win should have been that we're going to ride with him at least till the end of the season and then make a decision. This is the inverse of what I hoped to happen. So, I mean, again, I'll throw it back to you in just saying that you all know where I was at. I would have fired him 3 weeks ago. Michael, welcome to the dark side. I know you have finally joined the fireside, but we're also going to talk about some sensible, we're going to try and make some sensible decisions on this too, but I'm not the sensible guy, right? I will at least say that. I understand the sensible argument, but I would have made, he's going to get $50 million. I would have made him find his own way home from California if I were the AD, that's it. So like but, Michael Alford flew back separately on Sunday, I think they said.
Yeah.
That would have been Mike Norvell if I had been the AD.
Oh, listen. Okay, let me go back real quick before I get to the statement because I want to make sure I address some of the things you said at that. Listen, I love Florida State. I've been a diehard Florida State fan since I was a wee bitty little kid that could to make my little arms do this, right? My middle school, sixth grade side of the school was called the Seminoles, right? I was in Pasadena along with Jesse. We didn't even know each other at the time.
Yeah.
In Pasadena, sitting by the scoreboard, crying my eyes out when they won the national championship. I remember where I was, exactly where I was sitting in my little trailer park home in 1999 when they won the national championship. In 1998, when they lost to Tennessee. Like, I remember losing to Oklahoma 13-2. I remember, like, I've been a fan ever since then. This is not the program I grew up loving at all. It hasn't been. Outside of two magical seasons where we went 10-3 and 13-1 and 19 straight, and it felt like we were finally getting back to that. This hasn't been that. And I acknowledge that right up front. Now, I've been on the train of, like, you've got to give Mike Norvell to the end of the season to figure this out. And then at the end of the season, you make a decision. But then I said, if you lose to Stanford, a team that is basically a poor FCS version of a Power Four program, right, in the ACC out in the West Coast, who lost their quarterback and their running back and a whole bunch of offensive linemen during the game, right? If you lose to them, then Mike Norvell deserves to be fired. Well, guess what? They lost, and I immediately texted Jesse and said, I'm on the bus. What do we got to do? This is not the standard. This is 6 years. This isn't year two, year three. This is year six. This is not the standard. Mike Norvell needs to be gone, okay? I also think, and I also understand why the administration isn't making this decision. I know we're going to get into that discussion in just a moment, but I also understand that. I totally get that. So that's where I'm at. Now, when you talk about losing the program or losing, he has lost the fan base. 100% agree. There are very few fans who are still saying, we got to keep Mike Norvell. Now, there are some that are saying, well, I don't think we can move on because of the buyout and the money, but they're not saying we got to keep Mike because they think he's the answer. There are very few fans that.
Right.
He has 100% lost the fan base, including me, who's been a Mike Norvell supporter through thick and thin every single time. I'm done. That's over. I think that what I saw watching every bit of that game on Saturday is I don't think the players quit. I do believe in the mocking, because I think you can mock. I bet they've been mocking the coach and Nat Klein, just as they were mocking Jimbo. Well, when that helmet comes through, hell comes with it, right? Like the whole thing, right? I bet they mocked Lethal Simplicity and War Daddies the first day that Willie Taggart. I mean, players do that, right? I think that happens. I think the incident on the field with Edwin Joseph, we've seen Mike have that. We saw during the 2023 season. I forget which. I think it was Shaheen. It was Deuce Spann, where he grabbed his helmet and got in his face. That stuff happens. The reason it's being highlighted now is because you're losing. If you weren't losing, guess what? No one would say a word about it, right? It's because you tolerate things when you're winning, right? Look at Georgia. They running over people in the streets. Nobody bats an eye at it. Why? Because they're winning.
But yeah, no.
Imagine they start losing, Jesse, and everybody's coming for Kirby and they're, you know, DUIs and hitting people in the road and stuff. Because you're winning, people put it on. And let me make sure I say, I am not okay with any of that that's happened at Georgia. I think it's wrong. I think it's disgusting. And I think it's disgusting that people are just glossing over it. I'm just saying, the way our society and culture works now, people just gloss over it because they want a winner. Right? This stuff happening right now, the player, the Edwin Joseph stuff, the players mocking it, it's only become a headline because Florida State is losing. The last thing I'll say is to the statement, this is a statement that I agree with you that should have come out after a win saying, hey, we're going to see the rest of the way. This statement basically is telling you what we're going to get into later, some of the reasons why. I think you can read between the tea leaves of what Mike Norvell or what Director Alford is saying as to why they're not making a move right now.
Yeah, I almost would not have even issued the statement. I think it was worse, but everyone was waiting on the decision. So I think right. You had to kind of let them know that, look, we're not making this decision. And quickly to your point, I think things do get highlighted whenever you're good or not good. I think it goes both ways. Like had we not have been good in 2013, you probably would have never heard about the shenanigans that Jameis pulled, right? But because you are good, you get put under the microscope. When you're bad, you do too. But it's to me, it's like the leadership thing, where if you're a leader, a vocal leader, but you play like crap, no one cares what you have to say.
Right.
But if you put it on display, sure, that's fine. But man, there's only so many times you can go in there and say, this is a great opportunity to respond. I've seen the work that these players put in. Shut the front door with that, man. No one wants to hear that anymore. Like, I'm done with it. You know, the
Ooh, I thought meme, that was a close one.
That was a close one. I'm trying to do good, man. I'm trying to do good. You know, it's like the meme where the NFL player's trying to get in the Jets facility and he's like putting in the coat. Yes. That's how it should be when Mike Norvell's moving into the football only facility. He shouldn't. I can't get in the door because your ass got the code taken away from you for loot. The code is 2 and 10. How about that? There's your code to get in the facility.
5 and 14.
Exactly. And so, like, no, I get it, man. And the thing is, yes, when you're losing, everything looks worse, but for sure. And that's why I think, man, that's why I think this is beyond the point of saving for Mike Norvell, right? You're 15. You've lost 15 of your last 20 games, 10 of your last 11 ACC games. You've had back-to-back losses now as a double-digit favorite. In one of those games, you lost to a true freshman making his first road start. In the second one, you lost to Stanford with a backup quarterback. Stanford. I have already seen people say it's not on coaches, it's on players and all this stuff. The hell it ain't on the coaches too. Whose job is it to get the players? Whose job is it to have them ready? Mike Norvell says afterwards, I did not have them ready. That's your fault.
Yep.
This is year six and you don't have your team ready. I'm done with it, man. Like, to me, it seems like we are in a spiral that he cannot pull us out of. And it's getting worse and worse by the week. He looked lost in that press conference. He looks defeated. He doesn't handle defeat well. You know, we were talking about this before the show, and we said that this was a great example. And I only know one way to make this work. So just follow me on this. It's like when you hear someone talk about a person who's a liar, right? And I'm not calling Mike Norvell a liar. This is just the example of what I'm trying to use. It's like when you say someone's a liar and they get so far into the lie that they don't know the truth anymore. And I think I'm not saying Mike Norvell is lying from that perspective, but what I'm saying is I think he's so far into the mud, he's so far into the tailspin in this program right now, that he's lost his way to pull it out of that. I think he is so bewildered by what's going on right now that the changes that you made, the Gus Malzahn was the best offensive coordinator in the country, and this is who you're bringing in to fix it. Tony White, you're excited about him and what he did, and you brought in all these new pieces, and you learned your lesson from 2-10. And frankly, Michael, other than you haven't really been blown out like you were against Notre Dame, this doesn't look much better than last year. This looks almost worse. I mean, we're getting penalties before the game even starts. How does that even happen? It's just thing after thing after thing. And so, like, I really do think right now he is so far lost right now in the woods. And it happens, man. Like, we own a bunch of property out here behind my house. And one day I was back there like, I'm good. I got it. And then once you get into them trees, you're like, I don't know which way I'm going because they all look the same. And I think right now that's where Mike Norvell is. Everything just looks the same and he can't find a way out of it, which is why I think your long-term answer, and we'll start talking about this now, whether you get rid of them now or get rid of them later. I think that's why at the end of the day, you got to wipe the slate clean. And I don't mean fire Mike Norvell. I mean the guy who changes the trash cans in the coach's office needs to be reassigned to a different department. I don't want him to lose his job. You know, he ain't doing nothing wrong. Joey Janitor ain't the problem. What's wrong with Florida State football? But I think everything that has had its hand in what you've done the last 2 years has to go from top to bottom.
Yeah.
And that may be an AD change. That may be some you know, off the field staff. That may be a lot of stuff. And I hate it because a lot of those people probably didn't have anything to do with this. Yeah. But man, I think you got to wipe the slate clean. And whoever the next guy gets to come in, I think you need to give them a chance to rebuild this, take it to the studs, and remodel the house. You can't just change the carpet and the drapes and expect it to be better. It's not going to work because I think he's in over his head, right? I think he caught lightning in a bottle with a bunch of NFL talent in 22 and 23, which they get credit for going out and getting and doing the things that they did with. But you can see, man, four out of 6 years now have been bust seasons. And so, like, I think at this point, those are more the outliers than anything else. And so I have no confidence that he's going to be able to fix this. And so I think he has to go. I mean, there right now, let's be honest, there's a chance we don't win another game this season. And we finish 3-9 off the back of a 2-10 season. Even if you do win, are you really going to go beat? I know they're terrible, but are you really going to go beat Clemson on the road, Florida on the road? He lost last time he played Florida on the road to an interim staff. Yeah. You know, are you going to beat NC State on the road? Probably not. So you're looking probably 5-7 at best, 3-9 at worst. We said it had to be at a minimum of 8-4, 7-5, even 6-6. If you really just had to stomach it for another year, this ain't going to be good enough. And even then, you've already lost all the teams with a pulse on your schedule. Now you just get a bunch of slappies the rest of the way, other than maybe NC State, who's still kind of fighting for bowl eligibility there, to really kind of build your resume on. So to me, even if he wins out, and I give that a no percent chance, it's still not good enough for me. I still think you got to fire him. And so we can have the conversation now of whether you think he needs to be fired now or later. I'm not going to steal your thunder because I know you have the argument for why he should be done after the season. I understand everything that you say about that. I totally understand your argument. So I'm gonna let you have it. Then I'm gonna go back and forth with it.
Okay.
But me personally, while I understand that side of the conversation, to me, I think he's got to go now. One, I think this was the best opportunity to do it because you're going into a bye week. You could have figured that out. You know, I think some of the advantages, and I know the things you're going to say, so I'm not going to say it right now, but I do think one of the disadvantages of firing him is he doesn't call plays. So it's not going to make a difference. Mm-hmm. Who are you going to promote? Gus Malzahn? Mm-hmm. Well, now you've taken a guy who just admitted, I don't want to be a head coach and deal with everything that comes with being a head coach, now has to be a head coach again. He also will not be able to focus solely on the offense. Now he has to focus on head coaching too. Maybe you promote Zach Arnett as the guy. He's been a head coach before. He could be the interim, and then you don't have to worry about filling that down coaching spot. So non-financial reasons, there are things that make sense, right, as why you don't fire him this year. But, man, I think his message is falling on deaf ears. I think it's only getting worse week after week. I also think with – you know, to get into a little bit of the financial that we'll talk about later, or that I'll let you talk about here, is, you know, when you talk about the money side of things, that is a real conversation. That is a real legitimate hurdle to why this is not happening. We all know that's the case. Like, this statement basically said, guys, we ain't got it like that. You know what I mean? Like, we joked last time about saying you want a Ferrari head coach, but sometimes you're going to have to rock the Camry for a little bit until your bank account gets right. And I get that too. But I also think when you talk about like a publicly traded company, and how maybe you don't make reactionary moves. Well, 90% of what those companies care about are their shareholders, because that's what brings in the revenue. Well, in college football, the way it's funded, a big part of your revenue are your donors, which are basically your shareholders in the program. And to me, if you piss off 90% of your shareholders, you're going to have a hard time getting NIL donations for next year. You're going to have a hard time raising money for the things that you need going forward. So this is going to cost you in the long run, regardless, hanging on to them. And I think right now, to me, I said this before, I think you got to feed the wolves, right? The wolves need blood. And right now, I know you shouldn't hire and fire based on a fan base. I'm 100% with that, because we would be making changes by the weekday, let alone the season, right? Because we can be irrational. That's what we do as fans.
Yeah.
But I think at some point, when you understand that's where a lot of your money comes from, I think you got to have the conversation of like, man, maybe we need to give them what they want, because they're going to be the ones that are going to be helping pay us out of this.
Yeah. 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 Listen, Jesse, you make fantastic points. And, you know, I think I've always been like in the middle guy, meaning like when it comes to things about life, even like if you want to just use the P word, politics, like I'm pretty much in the middle. I can see both sides to every single argument. And I agree with you. Listen, I'm right there. I told you Saturday night via text, I'm on the train. Let's go. Let's make this happen. I'm done. I'm ready to move on. But as I started to like read more and understand more and research more and get it, I can also now understand why Florida State isn't making this move right now. I think the first question you have to ask is what, besides, I agree that your analogy about the shareholders and the company and appeasing them or feeding the wolves, I agree. Like, this fan base needs something. And if you don't want to get into apathy mode, you need to show them that you care, right? So last season, yeah, Florida State did that by, you know, and the rumors I heard is that Mike was forced to make those firings early on. I don't think he wanted to make them early on, but he was told you got to do something. And that's what he did. And that appeased the fan base, right? I agree that the only thing that's going to appease the majority of this fan base right now is to hear Mike Norvell is gone. That's what people want to hear right now. Right now. I totally get that. The question you have to ask is, what is the benefit apart from that, that the fan base is happy? Because let's be real.
Right.
The fan base can hear that Mike Norvell is gone, but they ain't going to give their money just yet, because you don't have a coach. You don't know who's coming in. You don't know if this administration is going to make the best hire. They might hire somebody that's like a no-namer. And you're like, whoa, this is terrible. I'm not giving my money to that. They might hire another G5 coach that's not named Alex Golish that you're not excited about. And you just looked at what Florida State did with this G5 coach, and you're like, I don't want to do that. They might hire Kenny Dillingham, who's attached to Mike Norvell. And you might be like, anybody attached to Mike Norvell, all the way down to his gardener, should be banned from Florida State. Right. So you're not going to want to do that. They're not going to give money. You're not going to create this windfall of donation and resources until you name a coach. So one, what's the benefit of firing Mike now? Two, he doesn't even call plays. What is he doing? Right. He's not a great recruiter. There's no benefit to firing him right now. Like right now, other than you appease people who just want to see his name not associated with Florida State anymore. They're not going to give money. No one is giving anything until they know the direction of this program, which means they know who the head coach is. Then they might get excited about it. Then you might see the windfalls of that. Two or three, the reason why they're not firing, or well, let me just, I'm not saying, because I'm not in
well,
the
and let me, I will say one thing too. To that point where you're talking about appeasing fans, I will say that it's also happened really bad for optics that Florida fired Billy Napier this weekend after they won.
That's true.
Because it wasn't
That's
good
true.
Enough. So
I agree.
You had a high profile coach get fired in the same state after floundering at a program that Mike Norvell is doing the same thing, and you didn't fire him. So I think that did kind of kick the wolves in the butt to be even worse, right? To be even more bloodthirsty. And that doesn't mean you should do things based on what Florida does. I think it also just makes the lack of movement for you even worse.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think that the what Florida did gives you a black eye now because you're not doing it. I will also say Florida, outside of two coaches, has not been very good at hiring coaches.
No.
Okay. Ron Zook, Dan Mullen, who was, you know, actually doing, you know, he had one really bad season and they fired him after that, right? Come on, Jim McElwain and now, you know, Sunbelt Billy. Like, I don't want to emulate Florida's program, okay? Like, we've only had, technically, we've had one terrible hire in Willie Taggart and one probably not been a good hire in Mike Norvell. Like,
approaching terrible,
you can't discount. Yeah, you can't discount the 19 straight. Right, you can't discount that. Okay,
he has terrible tendencies.
He has terrible tendencies. Exactly. He isn't. He wasn't a terrible hire. He just wasn't a great hire. Willie was a terrible hire. But I mean, look at what Florida's done. So, like, I don't know. I get the optics of that for sure. It makes you look bad. But also, Florida has not had a great track history outside of Steve Spurrier and Urban Meyer of hiring coaches. Okay. I would also just say too, like. And I'm not guaranteeing this because you and I, as much as we've tried to get credentialed, Florida State doesn't want to let us. So I don't have any inside sources. This is just based on all the research I could do and just trying to understand the economics of all of this, okay? If Director Alford, Peter Collins, and President McCullough had the money, and I don't mean like in-hand dollars. I mean the commitment from the big-name boosters. We said this last time on the last episode, Jesse, that this decision was going to be made by the big-name boosters. If they had the commitment that they would write the checks, Jesse, he would have been left on the tarmac a la Lane Kiffin that day, that night, that morning, actually. It'd have been over. He'd have been flying back Southwest. He would have had to fight for his seat, right? The Christmas tree and the pumpkin would have been on the sidewalk, all those things, if they had the commitment. Obviously, this statement basically tells you they didn't have the commitment from the boosters they needed to have to make this decision now. Now, Jesse, and I know you have a counter argument to that, so I'll let you have that one. They just didn't have the commitment. I mean, just you can read it yourself. This decision would have already been made if they had the commitment. They didn't have the commitment. And what commitment are they looking for? Well, let me just give you a couple of numbers. Everybody keeps throwing out this $50 million buyout for Mike Norvell. And it is true. He is owed 85% of his remaining contract if he's fired right now. Okay. It's not true that this is not Kentucky. Kentucky, if they fire Mark Stoops, which they're talking about, he's owed 49 something million dollars in 60 days. Okay. Florida State has the ability to pay this over the remaining years of Mike Norvell's contract. There is not, I've done the research, there is not an offset language. So Mike can go get another job and Florida State will still owe him the same amount of money in this thing. So there's no offset language, at least to the contracts that I could find online, okay? But it's not that. Florida State wouldn't owe him $50 million right now. They would owe him $8.3 million this season and the next season and the next season until the contract's over. But it's not just that. If you fire Mike Norvell, and you're right, Jesse, I think you got to go clean sweep with that whole program. All the assistants, all the analysts, everybody's got to go, okay?
Yep.
You do that, just the assistant pool. That's not including the analysts and all like that. Just the assistant coach pool, that's $10.85 million right now that you've got to pay up, okay? And that you're going to have to pay up at least one more year for a couple of them and then one more year for a couple of the coordinators, so Gus and Tony White, okay? So you're looking at around $8 to $10 million. But this year alone, that's $10.85 million, okay? Then to hire a new head coach, okay? Let's say you shoot for the moon. You're going to have to pay a Lane Kiffin, a James Franklin, somewhere in the $12 million range. Somewhere between the 7 and 12. Let me just say that. Somewhere between 7 and $12 million. Okay, that's where you're going to be at for a high money head coach. Now, if you go get one of those lower head coaches, like the guy from James Madison who followed Sig, who's still winning, and Sig took all his players and he's still winning. I have his name somewhere. I can't think of his name right now. Bob Chesney. Bob Chesney. If you go get a guy like that who's only making $750,000, yeah, you could probably pay him in the $3 to $4 million range. But you're probably going to go after a big name coach, right? Because it's Florida State. So you're in the $7 to $10 million. Then you're going to need a new assistance pool. That's going to be $10 to $12 million. Then you need your NIL package for this year, right? Which is right now somewhere in between 10 to 12 million. I saw a $20 million number. I don't know how true that is, but I know On3 has been reporting between 10 and 15. You're going to have to overpay to try to keep some of the good players like Danzy and Chrome and all those guys, right? Then you're going to have to overpay to try to convince recruits to come here in general to get here, right? So you're looking at just this year alone. This is, and I would say this is conservative estimation. You're looking at just this year alone, $45 to $57 million just to do a turnover of this whole program. When you don't have the people who fund this stuff, and I'm not talking about people like you and me, Jesse, who fund this with our season tickets, our booster donations, our battles in contributions. Yeah, for sure. But when you don't have the big check writer saying yes to this, it makes no sense to pull the trigger right now at all. I'll let you respond to that.
Yeah, my problem with that is if you say you're going to make a decision at the end of the season, are those big check writers just magically in 6 weeks going to go, yeah, sure, I'll stroke the check now, even though I wasn't going to do it after I realized this was a disaster anyway, right? Because the people who are stroking those checks, they're not dumb. You know what I mean? They didn't win the lottery to get that money. They are smart enough to know this ship has sailed. And so the problem that I have with that is if you feel like you're going to do it after the season, then you must have some kind of commitment to be able to do it, because it sounds like you said you're going to evaluate things after the season. So there has to be some sort of commitment in there to a degree, right? Now, I will say, I don't think you have to rush this. This was just an opportune time. I still think he needs to go yesterday, and that's my personal feelings, but I don't have $60 million to give him. I think the thing with that is, a couple things to your point. One, when you talk about the roster, you probably will have to pay for some guys. Now, from what I've seen from this team on the field, I would be happy to bring in 70 new players, right? I don't feel like overpaying for, but maybe about five of them. Danzy Chroma and the Twins and Kevin Wynn. Other than that, the rest of them can take a hike. We could probably find some new guys to go out and lose all these games, right? I don't really concern myself too much with, but I understand that's part of the problem. That's part of the money that goes into it. And so, like I said, you do have to kind of get that commitment to be able to do it, because it is a lot of money. And I think this is another thing that's worth talking about is, one, giving Mike Norvell the extension when they did was not stupid. Mm-hmm. Because you were on the backside of, at that time, you hadn't been left out. So you were 13-0 and thinking you were going to the playoffs. And so then you were going to look stupid if you lost your coach too. And so I don't think it was dumb. I think maybe you could have done a smarter contract to where maybe you had more performance bonuses and protections for yourself. But at the same time, like I said, man, I think one of the problems too, when you talk about the administration that we have here, I have applauded them for a long time for being willing to actually spend the money to compete, to build the football only facility, to do some of the things they've done. I think one of the problems that you've seen is they've overextended themselves financially in a short amount of time, right? And to their defense, I don't think they expected to have to extend Mike Norvell and give him a raise. That kind of came out of nowhere. But I think what they have essentially done is the football version of painting yourself into a corner. You renovated Doak for $270 million. You spent however much it cost to build the football-only facility. And now you just don't have the money to buy out the coach. And maybe that's the case. And I don't look at their books, so I don't know what they have money for or they don't. I just don't think that if you're going to fire him at any point in this season, barring the fact that you just don't have the money to do it, I don't think it benefits you to wait. And to me, the thing that I question, that I come to in my mind, is if you say you're going to evaluate it after the season, you got to have some kind of commitment in there to do it, period. And so that's just where the disconnect that I don't understand is. Now, maybe that gives you more time to get your ducks in a row. That I'm fine with. Maybe there's something where you're going to try and renegotiate with Mike Norvell and get him to drop that buyout. Maybe this, it even, I throw up in my mouth when I say this, maybe it even turns into where he restructures his entire contract and says, hey, man, look, you'll come back in 2026, but you're going to give back some more money and we're going to reduce this buyout. We will not fire you if you do that. I hope that's not the case. I'm just saying, like, if you ain't got it, then you got to look at other options to be able to make this happen, right? Because to me, I also look at it like, if you're going to wait till the end of the season, you might as well wait till the end of next season. Because if you wait for, we said it was, what, about $6, $8 million that you're going to save if you wait until after December 1st, when his buyout goes down a little bit, Well, signing day is that week. It's December 4th through the 6th. So now you're late on your coaching search. You are late on giving that guy a chance to be able to put together a high school recruiting class in less than a week. He's late on being able to scout this roster. He's late on being able to build his assistant pool. There's so many things that you're going to put yourself behind on that I think it just doesn't benefit you from that perspective. Now, sure, you can go out and start your search now. You can do some back channel things. Hey, are you interested or are you not? And what's the number going to look like? The other thing with that is I think if that gets leaked publicly and you don't fire Mike Norvell, that's going to be a black eye on the program if you get caught sneaking around while you're still married, essentially, right? That's going to look bad if you're going out and shopping for a girlfriend while you still got a wife. That's not going to look good, man. So I don't know that that's the option either, but you would be crazy to think that they're not at least looking around a little bit to kind of gauge some interest. And this is a really bad year to be changing head coaches because there's a lot of coaching vacancies that are open, but there's no guarantee that's not going to happen next year and the year after and the year after. So I think realistically for me, I think if you're going, and I've said this before, if you're going to do it at any point in this season, the moment it makes sense, which to me is now, I think you got to do it. Now, with that being said, I'm not saying it has to be, if it's not going to happen today, I don't think it has to be today, right? If they're not going to do it, period. That's just where it's at. It's not going to be today. Maybe you don't have to do it today, but I don't think you wait till the end of the season. I think you need to at least do it. If you're going to do it, if you say, man, after the Florida game, say we're 4-8, 5-7, we can't keep them. We already know that. I think you need to fire them before the Florida game. You at least need to give that coach enough time to go through the hiring process. Because, you know, these coaches will interview when they're still getting ready for the national championship game. They'll interview. So you could at least have a guy decided so that when the final zeros hit on their clock and your clock, you can go, hey, this is our coach. He has a chance to start that recruiting, start build. He could have already been building assistants. He could have already been doing all these things. To me, if you wait till the end of the season and you know this is going to happen, because it sounds like they know it's going to happen, then you're only going to put yourself way further behind in things for the next guy. And now he's got to go up against a tough schedule next year when he's already behind. Now, two things real quick. I will say that the couple of benefits that you do have, one of the major benefits to waiting till after the season, and this is new this year. Again, I think the biggest reason I say fire him right now is just to save face for your program, to look like you actually give a crap. I saved that one, to give a crap about your program and the success in your fan base, I think you fire him now. But one of the biggest things that I do think benefits you if you do wait that might save your butt out of this is, remember, the portal has changed now. There is only one portal session, and it does not begin until January 2nd and runs through January the 16th. So you have 2 weeks after the season. Now, knowing that, you better make a decision on a coach that fast after the season is over. Like, don't let him come home from Gainesville if you already know you're going to fire him. Like, that close to the end of the season is where it needs to be, because you need to give that guy that entire month to be able to start working on guys, recruiting from his old school, recruiting from this new roster. You know, one thing that Mike Norvell talked about when he first got here was the fact that he was able to kind of see how they played in that bowl game against Arizona State, so you could kind of pre-scout your roster beforehand. Well, Florida State probably ain't making a bowl this year, if we're being honest. So, to me, by not having the coach, I mean, it's just, man, you're just going to put yourself behind in the search. And you need to give this guy as much runway as possible, because one of the things that I was going to say when we were going to come on here and talk about the hot boards before those went away was that this is going to be one of the more critical hires in the history of this program. Because with what you're going to have to pay out to get rid of Mike Norvell, and this goes into why maybe you wait or why you keep him or why you even give him another year. God, that would be gross. Because I just don't think there's any way you can bring him back, personally. I don't. But one of the things is you have to get this right. Because the money you're going to spend to do this, you are pretty much guaranteeing you're stuck with your next hire for the next 6 years. Because you can pay out Mike Norvell through 2031. And that's also about the time you're going to be doing conference realignment and stuff like that. So there could be some things there that you might need. But you're stuck with this coach for the next 6 years. And so you better be able to get it right. So you need time to do that search and vet that coach and make sure you get the right guy. because it's going to be highly important, which is why, and I'll say it now because we don't get a chance to say it until maybe after the season, which is one of the main reasons I talked myself into James Franklin being the guy that you need to get, because he may not necessarily be able to win you the national championship, although he did play for it last year. He could at least bring you winning stability for the next 6 years until you're out from under Mike Norvell's contract, right? That's one of the reasons why I would love to have Brian Hartline, you know, take a risk on him being your coach. I don't think you can afford that risk when you're still paying out basically two head coaching salaries for the next 6 years, because what if you got to fire him and it doesn't work out? Then you're really screwed. So you basically needed someone who could come in and win you 9-10 games, be in contention for the ACC, build a roster, stack it with talent for about 6 years until you are free and clear of some of these financial projects, right? Now, we'll have the hot board conversation on another show, but I just think that's why, to me, it doesn't – you can't wait too long. I'm not saying you got to do it right now, but if he's not going to be here at the end of the season, there's really no point to me in not doing it, other than – we just ain't got the money. We just don't have the money. Now, one more alternate theory, and I'll throw it back to you for this as well. So here's the other alternate theory on why we might not be making this change right now. Maybe the guy who put out the statement is not the one who's going to be making the hire, right?
Ooh.
And that could come from two sides of things. Maybe Alford's not here anymore. Or maybe they hire a GM, and that GM is the guy who makes the hire, which I think is probably more probable, because I'm not against Michael Alford, right? I give him props for opening up the checkbook and spending the money to compete, even though it has kind of put us in the situation that we're in. You know, there for a while, we were accused of being cheap when Jimbo mm-hmm. was here. Mm-hmm. You were, you know, Coburn was only here to fix the finances because mm-hmm. you were in a tight spot. You are in a much better place now from mm-hmm. facilities and stuff like that to hire the next coach than you were back then. But I like Link. I like the hire. I like Luke Laux with basketball. Mm-hmm. I think that's good. I like the soccer coach, right? Yep. I think he did good with that. I think the facility upgrades have been good. Maybe the stadium didn't need to be $270 million. Maybe it could have been a little bit, you know, maybe some new bathrooms and some paint and some Wi-Fi, and we'd have been good, man. But you didn't know this was coming. So I don't fault them for that, because I think things needed to happen. But at the same time, I do worry, right, that there's not an FSU alum that right now that I would hire to be the head coach. And so far, that's pretty much all he's hired other than the soccer coach. Everybody's been an alum. So that part I don't love, right? I'm not – everyone's talking about Chris Winkie. I'm not in favor of that. You can't take that risk right now. I just don't think so. You need a proven head coach right now to get you out from under this mess that you have made for yourself right now. And so that's kind of where I'm at with that. But I don't think it's going to be so much Alford that's being changed, although it very well could be. I don't know. And at some point, there's only so much you can defend, right, with this football program, because this is the thing that you need to nail, not the other stuff. That all other stuff's great, but you can change them out. This is what you got to nail. But I do think maybe a GM is what you're going to look at, right? So maybe you can have them come in and be someone who makes roster evaluations, who is someone who makes head coach decisions, like in the NFL. This is kind of what you need to go to. This is what college is going to, and I think you need that. And by GM, I don't mean the one we got breathing up all the air and doing no results with it right now. I think he needs to go too. So maybe, long story short, maybe it's someone else who's going to be making this decision at the end of the year. That's why it's not being made now. But again, personally, I think you need to feed the wolves, a.k.a. the fans, a.k.a. your shareholders, because if you keep him around for next year, what are your NIL donations going to be like? They're going to be squat. What are your season ticket renewals going to be? They're going to struggle. I've seen it all up and down social media so far. They want to wait to fire Mike Norvell. I'm going to wait to renew my season tickets. I've seen it a lot. And so maybe that's just a small portion of the fan base. We don't know. But those same donors, even the big to the bottom, are going to be pissed off if you bring him back. So I don't think there's any way to do it. So if you have the money to do it at the end of the season, because you basically just said that you did, how come you don't have it now? And so to me, I think you do it now. But I completely understand your argument on why it doesn't make a ton of difference other than from a optics standpoint to do it right now. That's the only thing. But the last thing I'll say is, again, if it's not now, it doesn't have to be now, but I don't agree that it can be the very end of the season. I think if you're going to pull that plug, you at least need to do it before the Florida game to try and give him a little bit of time, the whoever the new coach is, to maybe be hired and named by then to try and save a recruiting class for 2026.
Yeah, listen, I you make some really fantastic points. I want to start where you ended, because I just don't think you're going to have a coach named by the Florida game. If it's James Franklin, yes, you have the opportunity to hire that fool right now.
Yeah.
Why are you waiting? If you actually have an in, if you're talking to James Franklin and he's like, I'm coming for less than $7 million, boom. Like, sign me the check, because I agree with you. You're going to get at least 8 wins. I mean, I don't know. Their Penn State team was really good this year, and they lost to UCLA, and they lost where they were back-to-back games where they were 20-plus point favorites. So maybe they weren't going to have the great season, but I don't think they were going to have a losing season. So,
no, and UCLA, that was a bad loss, but, man, they changed play callers, and that's a different team.
That's a different team. So let me just say, if you have
that dude just took Tony's job.
Yes. If you have an opportunity to get James Franklin, I will take 6 years of winning 8-plus games and losing the big games. Like, I mean, I don't know. If you lose to Miami back-to-back-to-back, we might feel a little bit different about that. But anyways, I will take winning 8 games every year and being frustrated about losing big games. I will take that right now. Now, that's lowering the standard, and I don't like that, okay? But I'll take that, right? Because it's better than what we have. If you can get James Franklin right now, sign me up. Fire Mike, make it happen. Problem is, you're probably not in the bidding war. And I know we're not getting in the hot board now, but when we have that conversation, I just don't believe James Franklin is going to take a pay cut to come to Florida State. I just don't believe it. I don't believe he will. I think he's going to command at least $8+ million a year. And I just don't think Florida State should be in that market right now based on of how they've over leveraged themselves. Okay. So that's just James Franklin. The problem is, you're not going to name a head coach by the Florida game unless you're hiring a G5 guy. So maybe Alex Golish, but even then, he's still going to be coaching his last game. He's not going to want that to come out before a Florida game. Right. So
Still have done the interview process, and you're just sitting on the name.
I know you're against this. I know you're not against it. I know you're afraid of what could potentially happen, but I'm just telling you, I have no anecdotal evidence to prove this. I just assume this for big business. They have all, when they were looking for Willie Taggart, when they were looking for Mike Norvell, I think they were already in the process of contacting agents and getting feelers and potentially interviewing these coaches before they fired their other coach. I don't think these programs are dumb like that. I don't think they're waiting until the coach is officially fired to then start the process. I think they've already started it.
The only difference I would say to that is Jimbo was not coming back. And Willie, you knew you were not going to retain him. The problem to me, the difference is if that gets out and then you don't get the answer you want, or you can't get the financial commitment and you have to bring Mike Norvell back after it's been made public that you were trying to find his replacement, good luck recruiting. Good luck building anything you want to build, because it's going to be hard.
You are right about that.
Because now you're literally a dead man walking.
You are absolutely right about that. If they, for some odd and strange reason, can't get rid of Mike Norvell after the end of the season, and it comes out that you were interviewing, yeesh, that's bad.
You're in trouble. Which makes me go back to the fact that if you have the commitment to get rid of them, to do that stuff, then why not just get rid of them?
Listen,
what do they say? I tweeted out today. I forgot. What is inevitable needs to be done immediately, or what has to be done eventually needs to be done immediately, or something like that. Whatever the case is.
Yeah. No, I hear what you're saying. I believe that they don't have the commitment right now. I think they believe they can get the commitment at the end of the season with a preponderance of evidence. That's the only explanation why you're not making a move right now, is that you don't have it now, but you think you'll have it later. Okay. We don't have any, we're not in those conversations.
Right. We don't know. Yeah.
We can only read the tea leaves. Right. But at the end of the day, I said this to you off air. I would bet the 20 cents in my pocket right now that Mike Norvell is not the coach next season. I feel very confident about that. I feel like he will not be. They could win out, and unless they blow every single opponent out, he's probably not going to be the coach at the end of the season, okay? So to me, it doesn't matter. to me, you get a head start on this coaching search. You start putting the feelers out. You know what? I can even see a scenario where Alford Met got back from California, ate his In-N-Out burger, called Mike Norvell into his office and said, hey, bro, you're done at the end of the season. We're going to give you to the rest of the season, and we're going to begin this stuff now. Like, I could see that. I could, and yeah, we're going to put out a statement saying we support you in the season, but you need to know you're done at the end of this season. Like, it's over. Now, Mike, because he wants that buyout, he ain't going to say nothing. He ain't going to ruin that.
Right.
So I could see that happening for sure. But
yeah, and I will say, we did say on the last episode or whatever, the one that didn't get aired because we had audio issues, that look at Florida. Like, they came out and endorsed him last year, and they still fired him this year. So that, you can still do that.
Yep.
Now, they waited obviously too long, and I think they Florida did. Is a good example of where you're at. Like, you came out and you backed a coach who was not doing well at the time, and you still ended up firing him. And so yep, to me, I think, like, the difference is, would you do that and then fire him at the end of the year when you're looking at it? Because I just don't, to me, there's no possible way you can bring him back next year. So this endorsement doesn't mean he still can't get fired, like we're saying.
Well, it says at the end of the season.
Right, but you just can't. His was midseason, Billy Napier's, because they were losing. Yeah, 49-0 to Texas when they aired it, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that Director Alford said basically they're going to culminate this evaluation at the end of the season.
Right.
I'm that's code word for
right. And to me, the difference is, like, you can't bring him back and let him have a Billy Napier type of year next year, because it's probably going to happen.
Right.
So, no, I agree on that part. I just think it's like, man, again, what else do you need to see? What else are you evaluating? Like, was the last 2 years not enough? But anyway, back to your point. I was just saying that just because you give him the vote of confidence doesn't mean you can't still fire him.
Correct. And I would just say there is nothing. You're right. There is nothing else to see. This decision, I mean, I'm starting to convince myself that basically I think they met with Mike and said, this is it. We're going to put out this statement to try to, you know, what they thought, squash the concern.
It raised it worse,
right? We're going to put out this statement, but you need to know this is it. You're done. And we're going to begin this search. Like, I could see that being a possibility. There's no way. There's nothing else to see. I think, again, this is not based off of anything but reading that statement and interpreting it. I think it was, they don't have the commitment right now. They think they'll have it at the end of the season. They're going to make this decision at the end of the season, regardless of what they have. But they are just trying to line. They're trying to be wise, business savvy people. Let's line up the backing so that when we do pull the trigger, we're not putting ourselves in more of a corner. We're closing the wall in on us, right? And that's assumption, because we don't know. But that's where I would land at with all this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's the hard part, is it is a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know, we talked, last year or something like that, when they were looking at the money to leave the conference and stuff like that. People were talking about private equity and the Saudis and stuff like that. Like, hey, man, get them dudes to start doing the war chant. That's all I'm saying. Exactly. Like, pick up the phone call.
Call somebody.
Call the oil fields over there in Dubai, and, like, let's see if we can get some guy. We just need like one prince to really fall in love with Florida State, man, and just give them a suite at Tallahassee and just write us a check, because we need the money. But no, I think it is. I think the hard part of this too is, and why I say that you can't bring them back next year, is because you yourself say this is not meeting the standard, right? Yep. And so if you don't fire him this year, everybody and their grandma knows it's because of money. It's literally because of money. And so how are you supposed to build on top of that, a bad season, going into a season with a tougher schedule that's probably going to be another bad season, knowing you're coaching for your job again?
Yeah.
There's no way. This is a snowball, and it's just going to keep snowballing until you finally turn the heater on, melt all the snows, go scorched earth, and you come back with somebody new. And so that's just kind of where I think it's at, man. I think you're right. Maybe this is just a matter of, like, hey, we need some time to try and get the money together. We need some time to try and move some money around. We need some time to maybe do some negotiations. Maybe we can do that stuff. I mean,
I love that point.
People say that, like, you can't negotiate with Jimmy Sexton, but he did with Sam Pittman on their buyout. Mike Norvell did give back $4.5 million of his contract. Right. That doesn't mean he's not willing to move on this number at all. And maybe you're just giving yourself enough runway for that to happen. I tweeted yesterday when it didn't happen on Sunday. I was like, this is one of the most critical moves in program history right now.
Yes.
You do not want to rush this. And so I don't think they should rush it. But again, if Monopoly money counted, Buddy, I'd have paid that buyout and he'd have been gone after the Miami game. And so, like, I think we all know the end result of this. I think we all see what's coming. It's just you got to make the numbers meet up. And we all know that, like, it's going to cost him to stay. There is no beating around the bush on that. Like, TV money, success initiative, that's $20, $30 million that the ACC has ponied up because you complained about it.
Yeah.
And you wanted it and they gave it to you.
Yeah.
And now you're not even, you'll get some of the extra money for the big TV games you had earlier in this year. But again, you look at later in the year, you look at going into next year, man, if you're not earning the performance initiative, if you're not earning the TV money, if you're not selling season tickets, if you're not getting NIL donations from these people, it's only going to snowball worse. And then you're going to have a deeper hole, maybe not deeper financially because you're going to be coming off the buyout, but it's going to be pretty close when you look at the money that you'll lose throughout next season by not being good, the rest of this season by not being good. You'll lose out on that money. And so the hole from a national standpoint will be deeper, right? And what you've done. I mean, again, you're going to, and you know, we're going to have to go back to the portal heavily again this year. We're going to have to overspend again this year, which is why, like, when people say, oh, you have to do that, you know, with a, that all that gets factored in with bringing in a new coach, who wants to play for this?
Yeah.
You're going to have to way overpay for everybody to come back. And when you're saying, come play for a coach who we don't know if he's going to be here, we all want him fired. Right. You're going to get booed in every game that you go to. Yeesh. And you're going to come here and probably have a losing season. Like, no one wants to play for that.
Right.
So you're going to have to overspend an NIL anyway. I would rather overspend an NIL for someone I think can actually do something with it.
Yep.
And so that's just, man, I don't know. Because even then, you bring in a new guy, at least you get the new coach bump, right? It's exciting till it's not. Everyone is probably excited, you know, Hugh Freeze at Auburn, and now it's not exciting. And you could certainly go on the other side of this and make a bad hire, and then you're even more screwed. And so maybe they're just weighing that out too. Like, when can we make this move when, if things don't work out on the other side, we're not doubly screwed?
Yeah.
There's a lot that goes into this because you can't be short-sighted in a long-term decision. No, that's huge.
That's true.
But I definitely think that the resources it's going to take to keep Mike Norvell are going to be pretty darn close to what it's going to take to bring in somebody new from a player standpoint, because absolutely, no one's going to want to commit to play for this. Right.
Absolutely.
And you're going to fight to have to keep some of the players on your roster. Cause you know, you're getting negatively recruited.
Yep.
You have been getting negatively recruited. And so, man, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see if they can rebound things. He's still going to be the coach through the end of the year. So, I mean, we're going to cheer for his dumb ass one way or the other. I still want Florida State to win. Ain't no way around it. Like, I'm still going to cheer for us to win. I'm still going to the NC State game. I'm still going to the Virginia Tech game. I'm still doing all that. We're still going to have tailgates. I'm not canceling my booster donation. I'm not one of those that says I'm going to pull my money back because I support whether we're here or we're here. Regardless, I'm doing all of that stuff.
Yeah.
I still stand on that. Like, he needs to be fired and you need to bring in somebody right now. And I do think, to a degree, this is a slap in the face of everybody who donates to your program that you admit it's not meeting the standard, but because we painted ourselves into a corner, we're now going to continue to allow that standard to slip further and further and further until eventually it's not the standard anymore. And so I think right now you are at a crossroads with this program. We did this episode 2 weeks ago. Are you at a crossroads with Mike Norvell? You are at a crossroads with this program. If you want to take yourself seriously and you pretend like you do, you have got to move on from him and find somebody who can win, because again, he's in a spiral he cannot pull you out of. And so you have to make a decision that is going to lead you back to that standard that you want. Keeping Mike Norvell is not that decision. That's not going to get you where you want to go.
Yeah.
And so I think you have to make a decision, but you also can't bury your program in the process. So it's tough, man. I'm glad I don't have to make this decision, because it's a tough place to be for them. But at the end of the day, I'm still going to root for us the rest of the year, but man, I wholeheartedly, it's 100% on the train. It's got to be somebody different taking you through next season. And it's going to suck because that's a tough schedule and you're going to have to overspend. And it's going to be an expensive Band-Aid to rip off, but you cannot allow this anymore, period. Yeah.
Jesse, what do I say about two things?
They can both be true at the same time.
They can both be true at the same time. I just love what you just said, because I have been wanting to – this thing is driving me nuts, okay? You can want Mike Norvell fired. I do. Jesse, do you? Thank you. We both want him gone yesterday. And you can also want Florida State to still win out. because it's the program you love. It's the program that you've given your time, your money, your resourcing, your anger, your emotion, your joy, your sadness, your grief. You've given so much to this thing for years. I just turned 40 this year. So I've been a Florida State fan for almost 35 years, man. Yep. 35 years. I've given it all. And yep. I want them to win. If Florida State wins out, you will find the most happiest Florida State fan right now. Not happy like we won a national title, but happy we won out. We don't have to talk about 3-9 and 2-10 in the back-to-back seasons.
Yeah.
And you will still find the same fan saying, I'm so freaking glad we ran out, we won out, and Mike Norvell needs to be fired.
Yeah. Like, it's I'll okay. still be happy that we won out. I'll just be happy ... waiting.
Exactly.
Pending. I'll be happy pending we still fire
exactly.
Mike Norvell.
So to the fans out there who have said to me on Twitter, I want them to lose every game so that he gets fired. That's not real fandom. That you are wishing ill will on the program you love. That doesn't make any sense to me. I will root and cheer and cry and grieve for this program, don't matter who the coach is. I want this program to be successful, and I can also want them to have a different coach. Okay. I think that's the thing.
Yeah. Now, I can cheer for them to win every game by 1 point. So you still win, but it doesn't look good. So you still want to fire him at the end of the year. How about that? There's a good compromise.
It's a good compromise.
You're right. Some people are like, I'm not watching anymore. I'm tuning it out. Like, maybe I'm just a glutton for punishment. Maybe I just like ruining my Saturdays, but I'm still going to watch every game.
I'm still going to watch. I'm still going to cheer.
I'm still going to be mad.
Listen,
I'm still going to do all that stuff.
Listen,
but I still want him gone at the end of the year. It doesn't change our opinion on that for sure.
Absolutely. I was laying in bed watching the Stanford game. And when Sawchuk went into the end zone, which I believe he was in the end zone, I jumped up out of the bed and did a little happy dance only to find out they're going to uphold the call that he didn't get in. Like, I was still devastated. Okay. That they lost the game and I was ready for Mike to be fired. Like, not even walking out, like as he was walking to the tunnel, Alpha pulled him aside and said, hey man, don't worry about it. We already got your bags. You got Southwest flight coming.
Your
home.
Exit is
over
that
over
way.
There.
This
right?
is the team exit. That's your exit.
That's the fan exit, right? Yeah. Like, for sure. Now, college football is a combination of emotion and business. And the fans, we are on the emotional side of it. Now, don't get me wrong. Peter Collins, who's a FSU alum, you know, Director Offer, who works for FSU, President McCullough, who works for FSU, these big-name boosters who are Florida State alums, right? They have emotion too. But these guys are going to err on the business side of things, right? And you have to try to make those two spectrums work. Yeah. And then my last thought before I give it back to you to end us here is that you have to weigh short-term pain versus long-term gain. And any decision you make, what's the short-term pain if we make this decision now versus the short-term to long-term pain if we make the decision later versus if we wait now and end it later, what's the long-term gain we got financially, economically, emotional, all those things. And listen, as Jesse has said, I am so glad not to be sitting in that room right now having to make that decision, because it'd be hard. It'd be so hard, because I'd want my emotions to lead the way. But you also have to have the business lead the way as well, too. And that's the difficult part of this. Listen, again, I'll say this as a closing. I like Mike Norvell as a person. I think he's a great man, a great husband and father. I think he's a good coach who has just lost his way. As you said, he's gotten so deep, he can't see his way out of it anymore. I think it's time. I believe wholeheartedly it's time for a change. He needs to be gone. And I also want them to win out.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not in that room either, because Mike Norvell would have caught a two-piece by now. You know that the Dave Chappelle clip where he's like the president or whatever?
Yes, yes. Like,
and I'm coming over the table. I'll be like, what have you done to my program? So, yeah, I'm glad I'm not in that room either. But all jokes aside, it's easy to say write a $50 million check, a $60 million check, when you ain't the one writing that check.
That's right.
And so I do think there is that side to consider. Like you said, the business side is still what it is. And so people still have to consider that. Again, we're not the ones. We might be writing checks, but we're not writing that kind of checks.
Yeah.
But I do think that he is driving this program into the ground right now. And maybe he doesn't, he's not intentionally doing it, right?
No, I still think
he's I think he's trying hard. I think he wants to win. I just think he's so far in over his head now. He's basically doggy paddling in the middle of the ocean, waiting on a lifeboat. And that lifeboat just ain't coming, man, because you were the one that was responsible for packing it and you didn't pack it. And so now it's not coming. And so I just think like Florida State has to consider, again, when you talk about the long term and the short term, like you said, man, it is no small decision to decide to pay $54 million for someone not to coach. Like you get literally zero return on investment for that unless the next coach hits and you start making more money, but you're still losing all 54 of that million. That is what it is. And so that's a hard decision to make. I just also think, you know, like I said, man, at the end of the day, if this is the program that you say you want it to be, if you want to be competing at the national level, which is what we have repeatedly heard them say from that administration building, you cannot in good faith bring him back for another year. You absolutely can't do it. And maybe that doesn't mean firing him right now, although I would. If I had won the lottery, daggone it, yes, I would have been like, I don't want to donate 50. I wouldn't want to donate $50 million, but I might would put a little bit. I got five on it. Something like that. But, man, I mean, the decision has to be made, and it can't be to come back for next year. So, again, I'm not in favor of waiting, but I also don't know what the school's checkbook looks like, right? Yeah. And that may be a thing where, look, they just can't come out and say, y'all, we're flipping tired of his behind, too. We just ain't got the money right now, right? Like, start a GoFundMe and donate it. We won't say anything. We won't say a word, right? And if you want to donate to the GoFundMe, it's Seminole Boosters. You can help raise the money there. Or you can send it to us, and we'll send it to them. We'll forward it with an earmark. This is for Mike's buyout. So we'll see, man. It's just, again, it's tough, man. It's a tough position to be in as a program. But if you let this go, you know, we always talk about you don't want to become Nebraska. You don't want to become these other teams that have just kind of had success and faded off into the distance. If you want to not be that, the decision has to be made, because Mike Norvell will turn you into that. He cannot rescue this program. He can't do it. He has not shown the ability to. And so I think at some point you have to rip the Band-Aid off. You know, but again, like we said, man, we're still going to support the team. We're still going to cheer for them through the rest of the season. You know, I'm not cheering for Mike Norvell, but I'm cheering for Florida State, right? At least I'll say that. But I still think he needs to be fired. But I will say this, Michael, we're not ever going to be ashamed to be Florida State, right? We still love this program and all that. And if you're not ashamed, you can still get great FSU gear at Alumni Hall FSU. Look, it's not their fault Mike Norvell sucks, right? But you can get basketball gear. You can get baseball gear. Maybe they'll put some Fire Mike shirts up for sale and donate part of the proceeds to the buyout or something like that.
Oh, I bet that'll make a lot of money.
I'll talk to them about it and see what I can do. So with that, make sure you check them out. 1415 Timberlane Road. Look, in Tallahassee, all 100 of you that are going to be at that Wake Forest game, just stop and buy a shirt. It'll help them out. It'll help us out. Save 10% with Code Spear. You can do that online or in store. And then drop a like and subscribe if you enjoy this content, man. I was a little bit more fired up before the show. I try to remain a little calm. Trust me, my blood is absolutely boiling whenever I saw that announcement drop this morning, because I mean, we were all ready for this hot board and everything. And you know, again, man, the decision goes deeper than that. I think too, like, people also have to consider the decision to keep Mike Norvell and have apathy among the fan base and empty stadiums every Saturday. That hurts local businesses, right? That hurts us. Like, it's not about us, because we have we don't do this for a living, right? No. This is not our full time, but like, this bit us last year when he went 2-10 and we lost our sponsor, and thank goodness they came back. So like, it sucks to have a business that's tied to someone else's success. And thank you to those of you who commented nicely on the last episode. Someone was like, look, you know, my guy Seminole Old School is like, I don't even care about the team right now. I'm just watching this because of you guys, because of the work you put in. And so we really appreciate that, because it's not our fault too. And we're just as pissed off as you guys.
Yes.
Trust me, like, I needed some blood pressure medicine before I jumped on here to record today, because I was ready to snap somebody off. But luckily, me and Michael talked a little bit beforehand. We got a little heated beforehand. We kind of chilled a little bit today. But man, yeah, it's just, all roads lead to the same place. And so like, if you enjoy it, man, just what we're doing here, just drop a like and subscribe. We really appreciate you guys. We're going to be here, good, bad, or ugly. We're going to be here to talk about Mike Norvell losing another game or us finding a new coach. One of the ways we're going to be here. And so
we're gonna be
like
here.
And subscribe there. Join the channel with a membership if you'd like. It's only $5 a month. It's much cheaper than Mike Norvell's buyout, and it goes straight back into the program as well. So $5 a month. We'd love to have you as a member. We actually had a couple new people join as well, so I want to give them a shout-out too. So we appreciate that. But, Michael, I think that's about it, man. I'm tired of being here again. You know what I mean? I think that's really where I'm at. More than anything, at the end of the day, I'm just tired of being here again.
Yeah.
After last year, you know, you had so much hope coming into the season with the way things were going, the way you beat Alabama, the way you won, you know, you started 3-0 and then to now 4 straight losses, kind of looking down the barrel of a schedule that ain't really going to do you a whole lot of favors with 3 road games to finish the season against teams that are better than you are right now. It's just another bad place to be, man. And so I'm ready for brighter days. This is testing our mettle to do this show, right? But we're still going. I already asked you what you want to record about next, the weather, you know, I don't know, the news or something like that, because it can't be more depressing than this. But we're going to keep rolling it out for you guys. But that's our thoughts on where we're at with Mike Norvell right now and the kind of the state of this program. Look, we both agree. Change has got to be made. It's just a matter of if and when. And
Not if, Jesse. Don't say that. Not if. When. It's just a matter of when.
If they say if and they keep him for next year, I'll lead the protest, right? We can hunger strike around Doak. We can lock arms and whatever we got to do. But that mother love ain't getting back in the stadium. I promise you that. We'll do what we got to do. I'll lead the charge on that. But, yeah, man, it's got to come. It's a big decision. And like you said, if the buyout was $15 million, he'd have been left in California. But it's not. And so I think that's why – we do have to be a little patient from that aspect, but man, my patience was gone 3 weeks ago. And so I think everybody else is, and we know your frustration, guys. We understand it. And so I think they need to make that change. It needs to be sooner than later, but it doesn't look like it's happening for the end of the year. So it is what it is, guys. We're going to keep coming to you with all the rest of the games, the rest of the season. We hope you'll rock with us for those as well, man. But that's going to be it. We will catch you guys on the other side. That's a painful sigh, Michael. That's a painful sigh. But you know what, man? It's always go Noles. Always. Brighter days will be ahead. They just might be without Mike Norvell. So
always go Noles.
We'll see you on the next one, guys. Go Noles.